Why don't we stay standing for a word of prayer? Our Father, this morning as we bow before you, we thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to gather, to worship you, the one only true God. We thank you this morning that you are here in our midst, for you've promised where two or three have gathered, you will be in their midst. And Lord, we have gathered in your name this morning, and we desire to hear from you again. I desire to hear from you, even though that I might be standing here this morning, Lord. I have as much need as anyone to hear your voice again. I desire to hear your voice. We all desire to hear you, Father, what you have for us in our life. So we pray this morning, would you please minister to us? Would you have your way here? We just commit these few thoughts into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greetings this morning in Jesus' name. It is truly a joy to be gathered here with you all. For a opening scripture, I'd like to turn to John chapter 15, starting in verse 12. And he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." This morning I'd like to kind of take our focus into the couple of verses there in 14 and 15, where he talks about friends. "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I called you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And that's God's desire this morning. I know that not very many times in the Bible that he actually calls someone his friend. He did it to Abraham and he did it to Moses, I know. And I didn't check and see if there's other people that he did that to or not. But he has called us friends. Maybe not by name here this morning, but according to this passage, if we're willing to follow him, willing to obey his commandments and to love one another, he has called us his friends. It's God's desire to communicate with us, according to that verse. "A servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth," he says, "but I have called you friends." He doesn't come right out and tell us that because you're my friends, I tell you everything. That's not what he's saying. But on the other hand, the heart is there that he wants to make known his heart to us. He wants to communicate to us what his desire is for our lives. How long do you think a friend of yours would still consider you a friend if you never communicate? Do things behind their back. You know, friends, they dream together. They dream, they talk, and they enjoy being together. That's what friends do. Friends enjoy that. I mean, Imagine you being saying you're someone's friend and all you do is just sit down and stare at each other. That's really not considered a friendship. Friends dream. They talk. They enjoy being together. If you're a servant, you don't know a lot of things about your master, maybe, or a lot of things your master does. But if you're working for someone and you're just a servant, there's a lot of details that you don't know about. If you're just working for someone, there's a lot of things that you don't know about what goes on. Now, we can be a servant and a friend, but I don't know that you can be a friend without being a servant. So God desires for us to communicate with us. And I just like to share a few thoughts along that line. If you desire to obey Him, He will call you His friend. You know, if there's a person that you're that is working for you and you give him some direction and he doesn't take heed to the direction, but he does what he wants, he just kind of does his own thing, you can't really tell him anything, is he your friend? Is he just your servant? So it is with God. If God has given us His Word, and we know His Word, we know what He wants from us in a lot of ways. Maybe not in every detail, not in every aspect, but we know a lot of what God wants in our lives. Are we willing to follow His direction? If we are, there's an open heaven above us. And if we don't, it's like there's a door that is shut. And the communication can't go back and forth. If we're not willing to obey His commandments, the line is cut. It's like if you're trying to water something and somebody kinks the hose. There's just no flow coming through there. In John 14, verse 23... Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wonderful promises. There's two things here that God requires. One is that we love him, and two is that we keep his words and follow his commandments. Then what does Jesus say? He says, we will come and make our abode. We will come and make our abode. It's God's desire to dwell in our hearts. It's God's desire to make His tabernacle, that we are His temple. And that there's an open communication between us and Him. That there's nothing hindering that. There's nothing hindering that. Jesus said that we will make our abode with Him. Isn't that amazing? That the God of heaven wants to dwell in your heart. What is more glorious than that on this earth? Wants to dwell in your heart and our heart. That's amazing. And the word abode means residence. A mansion. I don't know how He finds a mansion in my heart to dwell or to remain. It's not like He goes one day and comes again the next, but He wants to stay there. He wants to stay there. God wants to be our friend. Will you be His friend? Let's turn to John chapter 10. And I'm going to read the first 18 verses. It says, Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep
by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Very plain here that God's sheep hear his voice. God's sheep hear his voice. They're willing to follow wherever he leads them. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the stranger. It says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Can you hear when God calls your name? Do you know his voice? If not, then we hear the voice of strangers. You say you are God's friend, but what does God say? Sometimes our human reasoning keeps us from hearing from God. God gives us a direction. And in my mind, I'm trying to reason out why I should do that or why I shouldn't do that. And we miss what God wants from us. My own human reasoning a lot of times keeps me from hearing from what God wants. Sometimes it can be other voices that we allow in our lives. And there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of things, a lot of clutter, a lot of things that we can do to block out what God wants in our lives. I have to think of them high voltage wires that cross there close to us. If you stop and listen, you can hear it. But you're so used to hearing them that most of the time you just block it out. You don't even hear it, even though it's still going, and it might just be as loud as it was, has ever been before, but somehow we block it out. It's not buzzing. If you stop and you listen for it, it's still going. You can hear it. And that's a little bit how it is with God. We're busy, we're doing other things, and we're hearing this and we're hearing that. But if we're quiet, God still wants to speak to us. He's not going to yell above all the other voices to get our attention. That's not how God works. The noise on the highway, you know, some days it's loud. And you don't think about it until you get up the next morning and you step outside and it's just really quiet. Now, the noise was there all day, and I didn't think of it until I come there and it's not there. And that's a little bit how it is with God. If we are not careful, we will block it out with other things. What voices are in our lives? Sometimes He asks something of us and it's just not convenient. Sometimes He asks something of us and it looks very impossible. And we find other ways to get around of what God really wants from us. James 2, verse 23, he says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Abraham could hear God's voice. God called Abraham out of his hometown. Just think of that a little bit. God called Abraham out of his hometown. Was it an easy thing for Abraham to do? Not at all, was it? I mean, I don't think Abraham was that much different than we are. But he was willing to do it. It wasn't easy, but there was a blessing, wasn't it? Many people were blessed by Abraham doing that. Have you received the blessing from that? Thousands of years later, who will be blessed or who will miss a blessing because of our obedience? You know, Abraham begged for Sodom and Gomorrah, that for the righteous that were in there. It wasn't necessarily a convenient thing for him to do, to beg God for the righteous of Sodom. But there's somebody that was blessed. There's a few people that were blessed. Are we willing to hear? How about Isaac? I mean, that sounded about as far fetched as it could be. But Abraham knew God's voice. And he knew that it was God speaking to him. It wasn't an easy thing. But what a blessing. What a blessing. He was the friend of God. Can we hear God's voice? Are we used to hearing it and obeying it? If it looks too big, do we drown it out with our human reasoning? Are there things that you want God to reveal to you? In John chapter 14, that verse that we read there, there's two keys there that He gives us that we can hear from Him. You know what they were? He says, "If a man love me, and he keeps my words." Two keys there. Very, very important keys that we have. We all say that we love God, but God makes it very clear, if we're not willing to obey Him, we don't love Him at all. "And keep my words." Do we know God's word? How much time do we spend in God's word? How do you get to know someone? By spending time with them, right? You don't really get to know. I mean, you can pass by someone 100 times, but you really don't know him until you stop and spend some time with him. And that's the way it is with God. God is not different in that way. You cannot know God if you don't spend time with Him. You don't know God if you don't. Do we study it? Or are we too busy? You know, we can be doing a lot of good things and yet not be obeying God. You know, God could be telling you to, you know, suppose that Abraham would have decided that you know, God told me to go offer up Isaac, but instead, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go minister to these people over here instead of offering up my son. That would have been good in a sense, wouldn't it? But it would have been disobedience. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we, in our human reasoning, we do something that we think is still good, and we're missing the mark because it's not obedience. We know that we need to forgive, but it just wasn't fair. It wasn't right. And so we reason on, and we don't hear the voice of God. The door shuts, and we try to do a lot of things to show that we're doing all right, and yet there's no relationship. You know, our good isn't good at all if it's not obedience. Our good isn't good at all if it's not obedience. Are we God's friend? The word friend means fond, dear. Are we fond of God? The sheep follow where He leads. They get the best pasture there is for them. Sometimes it might not taste the best. Sometimes it might not look the greenest, but it's the best for them. You know, there could be some thistles in the midst of it. But God doesn't take us anywhere that is not the best for us. He didn't promise it was going to be easy, but He promised it would be the best if we follow Him. You know, we sing songs. The rivers of sorrow will not overflow. Do we believe that? If He leads us through the path where the rivers of sorrow, we just don't know if we can take it anymore. Do we try to find another way? Do we try to go around the sorrow? When through fiery trials I call you to go. We see the path that He's leading us on is going to be a tremendous trial in our life. Are we still willing? Are we still willing? These are things that God has been doing in my own heart. It doesn't look like there's a blessing. But there's no blessing outside of being obedient to God. He wants that dross to be gone. He wants us to stand before Him spotless. And He knows what it takes to get it done. We don't. Do we want to be like Jesus? How bad do we want to be like Him? Can you hear Him say, "Son or daughter, this way is the best. It will be very difficult at times, and you will wonder where I might be at times. But I just need you to trust me. This is the way that I choose for you. It's the best." See, when you follow Him, He doesn't just take you a good way, but He takes you the best way. Can you hear Him? Do you recognize His voice? Do we drown it out with other things? Sometimes we, in our mind, we know that, you know, this is where I should be going. And so therefore we miss the voice of God, because it's not what He has wanted from us. You know, He doesn't make us do anything. God allows us to choose where we want to go. He doesn't make us do anything. It's our choice. God says, "Come, son, come this way." I say, "Oh, it's not safe. Daddy, look, there's huge cliffs and loose stones on this small trail. I don't want to go through there." See this trail over here, Daddy? This looks much safer. Sure, it's a well-traveled road. It's smooth with no cliffs. So off we go and travel another 40 years through the wilderness, through the desert. But yet we have to come right back if we're going to go on with God. You know, the children of Israel, they wandered around for 40 years. What changed after 40 years? The giants, did they get smaller? The giants were still the giants, weren't they? Israel had to change. Around the circles they went. Around and around they went, out there in the wilderness. I just read a verse this week that really stood out to me. And it's when Moses died and God was telling Joshua, and he was getting them ready to cross the Jordan. It says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, and you may know the way by which you must go." It says, "And ye may know the way by which ye may must go, for ye have not passed this way hence hereunto." Somehow they never passed this way before. And they wandered around in that wilderness for 40 years. And he told Joshua, "You will know the way. You've never traveled this way in the 40 years that they wandered around in the wilderness. You've never went this way." And they were coming up to the Jordan, to cross the Jordan. That's where God wanted them 40 years before. Some change. What changed? Israel had to change. How is it with us? Some never change. Some it takes 40 years. Some it takes 20 years. What is our testimony? Can we hear His voice? Is there giants in our lives that God wants for us to go destroy? Will you heed His call? Are you open for anything that God has for you? Are you His friend? You know, there's many that traveled before us this path. Daniel, think of Daniel. Was it safe for Daniel? As you think of the path that I kind of described along the mountain where there was cliffs and loose stones, was it safe for Daniel to travel that way? I mean, he ended up in the lion's den. That wasn't safe, was it? We read the stories today, and we know it was all right, don't we? It was the best way for Daniel. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That wasn't very safe either, was it? But we still are reaping blessings from them standing on the truth that day. Joseph, Isaiah, you know, there's many. They heard and they followed. Can we hear God's voice? We sing, "All the way my Savior leads me, for I know not whate'er befalleth me. Jesus doth all things well." Do we believe that? "Cheers each winding path I tread." There's joy somehow if we're following God. Even if it doesn't look safe, even if it looks impossible, if we are obedient, there's joy. He cheers each winding path we tread. Be assured, God wants to guide you. It's our job to keep all the other noise down so that we can hear from Him and listen to His voice. First Kings, in closing here, I want to read a few verses in chapter 19, verses 9 to 13. He's talking about Elijah here. And he says, and he came hither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto Elijah, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. There'd be a lot of messages that we could get out of just that verse there, but we want to read on here. And he said, go forth and stand upon mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Who ever saw a wind like that? That the wind was cutting the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And that is how God's method of speaking to man. Speaking to us. That's how He speaks to us. You know, we want signs. We want things. We want to see something before we believe that God really is part of this. But God speaks in that still, small voice. Sometimes He doesn't speak the way we think. And He most certainly doesn't yell at us to get our attention. He is very gentle and merciful. And that is why it's so very important that we cut off all the other calamity, the commotion and the noise in our lives so that we can hear His voice. He wants us to be His friends. He said, if you love me and if you keep my word, we will make our abode with that person, you and I, if we're willing. And if He's dwelling in us, we will hear His voice. A friend of God will hear His voice. May God bless you. I hope that you receive the blessing. These are some of the things that God has been doing in my own heart. There's a lot of commotion going on. We're always so busy. And yet in that still, small voice, God wants to speak to us.